Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. I'm Terry. He's Glenn. We couldn't do it without Danielle, and we're filling in for Paul W. Smith, and it's an honor to be doing so. And really, as I mentioned in the previous segment, we have got an all-star lineup of guests. And with our first guest, Glenn, please.
It is very appropriate to welcome literally one of my favorite people in the industry and a person I call a friend, too. So Lisa Lunsford is the co-founder and CEO of GS3. She also happens to be the chair of the Mish Auto Board of Directors and also on the Detroit Regional Chambers Board. Lisa, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's good to hear you today. I think I've seen you quite a bit lately. I think I bump into you everywhere, and you are involved in a lot of things. But let's set one thing first. Tell us about GS3, because I know who you are and Terry does, but the audience probably don't. Tell us about your business a little bit first.
Okay. Well, GS3, which was founded in 2010, which was on the, backside of the Great Economic Recession. We are an automotive tier one supplier. We bend and we process steel and aluminum alloys into rod or tube components, and we assemble small powertrain and engine modules. We're located in Livonia, Michigan. So we've been manufacturing in the USA for 15 years.
So absolutely one of the backbone of the supply chain types of companies, and I've been out there many times and always enjoy that. And I understand you had manufacturing day this week as well. How did that go?
Oh, it was great. I think we hosted about 48 kids from Cody High School. So it was a great time introducing the high schoolers to the metal component industry. And we had a really good time. They made a phone stand. And so they really got a kick out of actually learning how to program the machine to make those parts, and they walked away with that. And I think they walked away with a lot of knowledge to understanding that software and AI are part of our manufacturing process.
That's pretty critical what you just mentioned right there, because we all know how the stamping machines work and the plastic injection molding, but today's factory is highly automated and needs a lot of digital skills, and it sounds like they had that experience too yesterday.
Yes, they did. They got a chance, you know, hands-on, you know, actually looking at what it takes. It's not just the manufacturing of the, I would say, the old days, right? Even though the old days is what we build upon, we need that foundation. But taking that foundation of math and applying it, seeing how you actually automate those data points, and in doing so, you come out with the product that you're looking to make. And so the kids got an opportunity to see that it's not as old fashioned as they think it is. It is really something they can engage with. And you know, for our kids are out there messing with technology as it is, and we tend to forget that they have those little computers in their pocket. And every night they go home and they're playing their games. And now we're taking what they are doing, you know, just innate, what they're born with, and using that in the automotive industry. So this is a great time.
That's incredible what you did for those students, you and your GS3 team. Thank you for investing in the future like that. Lisa, I've got a question for you. Just how mm-hmm. is the manufacturing and business climate for companies like yours right now in Michigan?
Well, you've heard the stories, right? We all know the story of what's happening, you know, but it is something to be said to be founded during the Great Recession, when you have a sign outside your window that says building is for lease, right? So you learn to set plans, to set up guideposts to help you every step of the way. So right now, we're feeling the same thing that our counterparts are feeling, but I think we have plans in place to help guide us along the way as we try to maneuver this, because the auto industry as a whole, you know, it's not just not just my company, it's everybody that's still in this. And I'm sure that we're all setting the plans in place and we're trying to become better partners. We're looking at collaboration. We're looking at things to make us more efficient. Because, you know, we started the business, my business partner and I, Robert Grushel, started the business to employ people, you know, so we don't want to get away from that. But we do know, and we're realistic about that, that what we started with might not be what we end up with. And what we're hoping is to create an upskilled labor force as we try to maneuver this current environment.
So speaking of the labor force, where are the talent demands right now? Where are the talent demands in this industry?
I would say more, we need the trades, right? We need kids who can, or our skilled labor to understand and apply those math skills. We need those who can run the equipment, who can actually service the equipment. You know, we're looking at, you know, filling our tool rooms. If we can't provide the preventive maintenance on the equipment, it can't keep going. So, you know, trying to get kids interested in electrician, you know, HVAC. We need the plumbers. We need the kids who can actually do those things in order to keep us manufacturing, keeping the floor going.
So I was at Michigan Central the other day, Lisa, for Ford held an event called Accelerate, and it was all focused on what they called the essential economy, and that is what you're talking about. You're talking about the essential workers that are skilled, and they need certifications. They need community college, and yes, we need higher education too. It's all of the above, but boy, we need those people in those middle skills, don't we?
Oh yeah, we do. And we need to invest more in that. I mean, it's great to have the 4-year, but we need the kids who can come out and do something with their hands, right? We need, you know, we need that workforce that can build things. We need to get back to that. I think that it's imperative for the automotive industry or any industry to survive is to have people who can build, you know, I think we got away from that, and so we stopped focusing on it. It wasn't that we didn't say that it was necessary. I think we just stopped focusing on it, and so we lost a whole generation of people who could do things with their hands. And we at GS3, along with my partner and his companies that include Amanda Manufacturing LLC, we are looking for that skill set that can help us, you know, keep producing parts that are necessary to keep the automotive industry going. And also when we're talking about this building, you know, we're also using the tool of AI to do it better, right? And so it's not an either or, it's an and. And how do we put those two together to make sure that we get what we need, which is, you know, more efficient and better parts or a better industry. And we need to do more to ensure that we have that.
Well, Lisa, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for showing the kids from Cody a pathway yesterday, and appreciate all your support and just the leader and friend you are, the industry, and to Mish Auto and the Chamber.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Lisa.
I appreciate it and love it. Love the industry.
Have a great day, Lisa.
Automotive Views is brought to you by Bridgestone. No matter what the next generation of mobility will be, it will be on wheels and Bridgestone will be there. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Here's Mike Martinez.
Jim Farley has been in the chief executive role at Ford Motor Company for 5 years now, longer than both of his past two predecessors. So what sort of impact has he had over the past half decade? There's the good, like expanding popular vehicle lines with products including the Mustang Dark Horse, Bronco Raptor, and Maverick Lobo. But there's also the bad. Ford's recalls are out of control, and manufacturing costs versus the competition have been higher than its executive team would like. For better or worse, Farley's also put himself out there more than Ford CEOs have in recent years. He actively posts on social media, chats with celebrities on his podcast, and this week hosted a conference of other CEOs and industry leaders to discuss skilled trades jobs. Whatever you think of him, Farley's made some big bets on what services and vehicles Ford sells, and even how it makes them. Whether or not some of those bets pay off could determine if he lasts another 5 years. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.